Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. In tonight's show, we'll be looking at the World Cup group stages.
Into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has done it! Leicester City have won the Premier League.
Scholes against Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Frank De Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant!
I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And making his debut on the football podcast is Oliver Newman.
Hello.
You guys both well?
Yeah. The hangover's gone from yesterday, and it's all looking good now.
Good stuff.
And yeah, I'm fine, thanks. I don't drink, Nick, but I contemplated doing it during that match last night.
Well, it was a very boring match, wasn't it? To be fair to it.
Exactly.
And I was actually quite grateful for being in the queue to get a beer during a lot of the first half. So
exactly.
What did you guys see? You say very boring match. It almost reminded me of one of them friendlies we'd seen on ITV over the years, just hearing the same commentators and all that. It was an absolutely dreadful game to watch, I thought.
Absolutely. It was just boring. Considering we were playing with two strikers, there didn't seem to be much offensive play, in all honesty, which was quite shocking.
Mm. How much do you think we were trying to win the game? Because there's a debate that finishing second, we've got a better draw. Do you think that we actively threw the game, or do you think maybe we just didn't try as hard as we could have done, rested a few players, or...
I think, in all honesty, if you step foot on a football pitch, any football pitch of any kind, at any level, and you don't want to win the game, it's a bit disgraceful, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think they went out to not win. As I said, I don't think they would have ever gone to do that sort of thing. Obviously, resting the eight players obviously did set about his intentions that he obviously was having half an eye on obviously the knockout stage, and rightfully so. And obviously it would have not been so drastic if we were to come to second place. It wouldn't be a drastic sort of drastic finish. I think that's why there was obviously major changes. But if we're going to obviously move away from the negatives, I think there's some positives to take out of it. I think there's some excellent performances by Danny Rose, Fabian Delph, and I thought they were both excellent. They've given them both, especially Rose. I think Rose has given himself a big chance of potentially even starting in the Colombia game. However, in that, on the flip side, there was some not very good performances from some players. Some players didn't really take their chance, and we might not even see them for the rest of the tournament. Obviously, if they're not seizing their opportunity then.
Well, this was my question. Oliver, if it was up to you, if you say that the lineup from the first two games is the standard lineup, are there any players from last night you would start going forward?
I thought it was the opportunity for somebody like Rashford to step up and be counted and take Sterling's place, but I don't even think that's happened, in all honesty. And Nick said about Danny Rose, but wasn't he the one that got caught out for the Yanisei goal? He brought him back inside onto his stronger left foot when he should have been jockeying him down the towards the corner flag, shouldn't he? So he was good going forward, but defensively that was a bad mistake.
Fair enough. For me, I think Ashley Young should continue to start over Danny Rose. I think Rashford had a big opportunity. I think had he scored that goal, he would have unquestionably started. But I think that miss has made it more difficult. I'm not so sure anyone else really did anything. Myself,
I think him and Loftus-Cheek are better impact players personally.
Mm. Questions over Jordan Pickford in goal. He had a shaky game, perhaps could have saved the goal, and also a few others. There was he parried a shot out to Fellaini. There were a couple of other nervy moments. Any question marks over him, and do you guys think?
Personally, I'd keep Pickford in goal. obviously it's his first major tournament, so there was always going to be it was always going to have these shaky moments. So no, I wouldn't start making drastic changes by taking him out, sort of thing, by putting Butland or Pope, and you forget that would probably damage him going forward as well, Pickford. So no, I don't think it's a cause to panic yet with Pickford, and I'll certainly still start him against Colombia.
Yeah, I think in this instance, for the things that have been levelled at him, barring like punching it into the space where an attacking player's coming in and so on and so forth, he's been picked and put as number one. This is how things have been all season. So you can't kind of turn around and say, well, he isn't the goalkeeper for us in the major tournament, because he's been doing the same kind of saves all season long, hasn't he? So. If you take out Pickford, they're not going to go with Butland, because obviously Stoke have dropped out of the Premier League. So do you try an untested Nick Pope? That's a hell of a decision to make. So I think it's got to be Pickford going forward, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And looking at England more broadly, they had the first two games, which they won, Tunisia, Panama. There was a lot of excitement. And then this Belgium game. But with the two teams they played originally, because they're such weak teams, have we really seen England? Can we gauge how good a team they are? Because there was so much positivity, which has now sort of gone down the drain after what happened with Belgium.
I think... You know, you've seen the best and the worst of England, even in the two previous games against Tunisia. You know, the penalty is a shocking piece of defending by Kyle Walker. You said that in the chat about talking about VAR and stuff, Anthony. But you know, there's two penalty decisions that should have been given for Harry Kane. Me and Nick, you know, do a Broken But Glorious wrestling podcast, and. You know, we could say that the first one was a Roman Reigns spear on a Harry Kane, and then in the second half it was like it was a full Nelson. So, that was incredible. And then we've just about got past Tunisia to pick up the 3 points, and then in the second match Panama started quite well, and then we've demolished them up until half time and got the goal after half time. And then we've conceded a slap goal again. So, you know, you've seen the best and the worst of England so far.
I think we're going to. I reckon we're going to be in the final. Final one. Nah, I think we will win the whole thing. I believe in this team. I believe in this group of players managed by Southgate. So I think we're going to win the World Cup.
That's a good prediction. That's an ambitious prediction. I like that.
No, although all jokes aside, I am still very confident about this group of players. All joking aside, whether we win the whole thing remains to be seen. I think we need to obviously take it one step at a time. That's one thing I didn't like as well, with all the media and everything, more thinking about the quarterfinals before we've even had our last 16 match. People obviously already plotting into the final, which I think is a bit ridiculous from a personal point of view. So I think we've certainly got to take it one game at a time, and obviously I think full focus is on the Colombia. But I don't see why we can't get as far as potentially even the semi-finals or even the final now, because I think, as I say, we have got a very good group of players.
You see, this is the thing. I disagree with you a little bit, because it's hard not to look at the run we've got to the, because with the fact we finished second, we've got Colombia in the next round, we've got either Sweden or Switzerland, and then we're in the semi-final. The fact we've finished second has worked so much in our favour. We've got a very good chance of reaching the semi-final, and then, you know, in the semi-final you're going to play a big team no matter what, pretty much. So I think it's brilliant we finished second. I think it's very difficult not to almost plot that route.
I completely understand where the point's coming from, but as I said, I do just feel the full focus should just be on game by game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with Nick in that instance. You've got to take this tournament game by game. Next up is Colombia. Don't worry about anyone else after that. Mm-hmm. Until you have to, if you have to.
Okay. We touched on it, Oliver touched on it before, talking about VAR, but that's been a huge talking point in a lot of games this World Cup. 24 penalties have been given in the group stages alone. And in the World Cup, in its current format, 18 penalties is the most that's been given in the whole tournament. And off the top of my head, I think 13 is the highest in a group stage ever. Where do you stand? I don't want to make the whole show about VAR, but I've got to ask, what are your thoughts on it and the way it's been implemented at the World Cup?
I think we should take this question to VAR, personally. it is. I think it's been... It's actually made a lot of the games a lot more entertaining, I think, through VAR. I'm still not a fan of video technology as a whole. I've touched on this on many, many shows on both the 72 show and the main football show over the last few years or so. I'm just not really a fan of video technology for penalties, what have you, because at the end of the day, it's still a matter of opinion. No matter what happens, you've only got to look at the France-Australia game. We saw the VAR footage, the referee made his decision after looking at it, and then me and my mates in the pub, we were still in disagreement about whether it was a penalty or wasn't, or it was like a 50-50 split. So I think some decisions are fine, but I still think at the end of the day, when it comes down to these penalties decisions, it's still a matter of opinion rather than a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think for the VAR, I think you've seen, it's been a bit hit and miss. Like I mentioned with Harry Kane, the Tunisia match, that was like the miss in terms of it being the hit, a really huge decision in the South Korea-Germany match, which if it had gone the other way, could have kept Germany in the tournament and South Korea. Well, yeah. So it was hugely important in that situation. I like it based on the fact that I understand its opinion, but it allows the referee to deal with the situation then and there, or there and then, sorry, as opposed to looking back after the match and thinking, oh, I've made a really bad mistake here. You know, in the Senegal-Colombia match as well, wasn't it? They give a penalty and then checked out the video footage and the defender got his heel to the ball before the man went down. Mm. So that was a really good decision given in hindsight. So, it's been a bit hit and miss. It's something I've had to, you know, get used to in the tournament, but now we all are. And the only question I've got for that is it going to be on FIFA 19?
Well, I put a question on Twitter asking, I asked, would this World Cup been better off without VAR? And it was 48% thought yes, and 53% were in favour. Well, that's because of rounding. But it's basically a 50-50 split on people on VAR. And I agree with you. I think there's been some games where, as you've cited a couple of examples, where it's been a crucial. And then there's been other, you know, bad instances of it. I think Spain and Portugal's group is a good example of that. And as Nick says, there's a lot of opinions still in the game. I think with the set pieces, it's made a difference. I mean, as you point out, Harry Kane was subjected to some rough treatment in that first game. But then since then, there's the set pieces, teams have been a lot fairer, you know, there's been a lot less grabbing and holding and all that nonsense. And, you know, when it has happened, there has been a lot of penalties and have been penalised for it as they should be. So is that a benefit of VAR?
Oh, absolutely. Look, you know, I just didn't like VAR because it was going for everyone else except England in the first game. These decisions were blatant on Harry Kane in the Tunisia game. And then in the Panama game, you know, it went for us, didn't it? So much like, you know, the old adage of a penalty being given against Jay Evans itself or over the season, that's what managers usually say, isn't it? So I guess with regards to VAR, it will do the same over the World Cup, won't it?
Mm. Okay, we'll move on from that. There's a few, obviously, some of the groups, some of the big stories. First of all, I've got to start with the World Champions Germany, who were knocked out of Group F. Only won one game of the three, a 2-1 win over Sweden, thanks to that late Toni Kroos goal, but lost the other two against South Korea and Mexico. I thought Germany were poor this World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was having a discussion with another friend, and he said, I was like, well, where's Leroy Sané? And he's like, he's been left at home. And I was like, well, why would you leave someone of the quality that he's got at home, and he was like, oh, I didn't have enough space and stuff. And I was thinking you could have made space for him. And when that decision went that way, I was like, okay, you've really left yourself into a bit of a situation here. And then, you know, during the matches and stuff against Mexico, they were playing so un-German, like it was untrue. The defence was split, you know, with just one pass and stuff. The players were playing out of position and what have you, and Mexico were better. Against Sweden, that, you know, they got lucky. And then obviously the last minute goal. And against South Korea, the goalkeeper was fantastic for South Korea. But, you know, once again, they played out the skins and they picked up the 3 points. But Germany, much like it's been said on punditry and on commentary and stuff, that's one of the weakest German, I don't know if it's necessarily the weakest German team, but it's the weakest they've ever performed, you know, since they got knocked out in the group stage, I think, in 1938, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Alvidsson. I think it's absolutely hilarious that they're out, which is brilliant. You always obviously see the big teams crash out in the group stages, which is well, obviously we've seen the statistics. Spain obviously in 2014 after winning it in 2010 they crashed out. Italy in 2010 after winning it in 2006 they crashed out. Then obviously France in 2002 after winning it in 1998 is obviously it's become a bit of a trend now, isn't it? If you win the World Cup, you're going to be going out. You're going to be going out early stages in the next tournament. So it was. In all their games, but Mexico completely killed them on the tactics. I thought in the 1-0 win against Sweden, we thought that was going to be them kicking on, especially their last minute wonder goal. I thought that would be the kicking on. I did think they would ease past South Korea, but how wrong. And I think more credit. I mean, a lot of credit has to go to South Korea more for their obviously the desire and will and. And obviously, as well for South Korea, it can be so easy for teams to sort of, when you're out of the World Cup, you've got much to play for, you can easily roll over. And I mean, fair enough, maybe if Germany went 1-0 in the first half, it could have been a slightly different outcome. They could have just done that and rolled over and lost, say, quite a hefty scoreline. But they stuck at it, and in the end, obviously, they got their just rewards. Mm-hmm. Obviously, albeit thanks to VAR, which was the correct decision. With Germany, yeah, it hasn't gone well for themselves. I suspect they'll lose, the manager will change, but then, yeah, I think they have to obviously start again with a rebuild there. And I think certainly that they should rebuild. I think a team around one of their better players who is not in the squad, and that's Pascal Gross, I mean, Leroy Sané.
One point I would make about Leroy Sané is his record for Germany isn't that good. I know he's smashed the Premier League this season. He's been excellent for City, but he's not done much for Germany. And also, the player that he did pick, he said it was between Julian Brandt and Leroy Sané. And Brandt was probably one of Germany's best players. He was probably one of the few that actually turned up for them.
No, I completely agree with you there, Anthony, in all honesty. Julian Brandt, you know, played well and was one of Germany's best players. Unbelievable that he didn't start any of the games, if my memory is correct.
He played about half an hour in total. 20-something minutes he played.
And exactly, they looked a different attacking threat when he was on the pitch, which makes you scratch your head at why he wasn't starting games.
And the fact we're talking about him based off 28 minutes, something like that it was, it kind of reminds me of Rashford for England before, when he played next to no minutes and made such an impact against Iceland in 3 minutes or whatever stupid amount of time he got.
I was about to say the same thing about that with Rashford.
The only other team you didn't mention with the teams getting knocked out after winning the World Cup was Brazil, who that was the quarterfinals for them. They've got the furthest of any team this century, I suppose. But they only got to the quarterfinals, and they were surprisingly knocked out there. So yeah, it's been a poor time for World Cup winners going into the next tournament. I should mention Mexico and Sweden. Mexico in particular for me really stood out with their bold attacking play, the counter attack have been very dangerous, and both look like decent sides, even though, you know, we probably wouldn't expect them to get far.
Well, I was going to say, Sweden especially, I would have probably had them down as favourites to to come fourth in the group, if I'm in all honesty. Yeah. Everyone that's in that group, I'd probably have my money on Sweden coming fourth, but they've won the group, which is obviously crazy. I mean, I suppose it's like the England's group in 2014 when Costa Rica won. No one really, obviously, they were favourites to come last and they end up top in the group. I think full credit to Sweden and Mexico, that they've obviously got out of a really, really tough group, and they've obviously got their games. I think Mexico, will probably opposite that to Brazil, but Sweden, now they've got a realistic chance of reaching the quarter. No, we the English have been plotting our route to the final, but I can imagine Sweden potentially now might be doing the might be doing sort of the same thing.
In terms of Mexico, I thought they were fantastic against Germany. Yeah, I think that's the one that's kind of stuck out for me. They were really good. Obviously, Germany were really poor, but in that one game, and obviously the fans and the Mexican wave and stuff is infectious. So I, I hope they go as far as they can go, really, in terms of Sweden. Like I said to you off air, I've had a lot of these games on the background. I've seen the goals. I was surprised that Ibrahimovic didn't go, considering he's still playing for LA Galaxy. So that surprised me, and considering he's been there and stuff. But then on commentary, they said that it's a better atmosphere without him in the team. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they performed so well, because they're, like Nick said, they're kind of the underdogs, and no one knows that much about them, but they've obviously performed that well without having a global superstar in the team.
Mm-hmm. Talking about a global superstar brings me on quite nicely. I want to move on to Group B, because there was a lot of stories from there with Spain and Portugal qualifying. Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't had the greatest World Cup record before, but scored a hat-trick against Spain and having a bit of a better time of it this time around for Portugal. Would that performance must go down as one of the best World Cup performances?
Yeah, it was, this is the one game I seek out that wasn't England, really. I knew Portugal versus Spain would be a cracking match, so I checked this one out. And, like you said, Cristiano Ronaldo is, absolutely amazing. For the equaliser, the commentator turned around and said, oh, well, he can either curl it round the wall or put it over the top. And I don't think he can put it over top. And I was thinking to myself, you do realise this is Cristiano Ronaldo, don't you? And then as soon as that happened and he stepped to the ball, I was like, that's a goal. And it was. So, it's about the Portuguese team giving him the service, though, as much as Ronaldo doing it, because obviously he's a world-class player. But you can't do it all on your own. He's got to be set up for different crosses and different passes and stuff. He can't pass and cross to himself, can he? So,
Ronaldo, that was my favourite game of the World Cup so far, Spain-Portugal. I thought that was an amazing game, proper end-to-end stuff. Really enjoyable, and obviously a hat-trick from, well, I was saying how people, maybe mixed reviews about him, but a hat-trick from one of the best players at the tournament, one of the best, if not the best player at the tournament, in Ronaldo. I thought that was one of my favourite games, and it was a fantastic. That free kick was just amazing. Not only because it won me a lot of money, but it was just a very, very good moment. But he's been terrific in all the games, hasn't he, Ronaldo? And it'll be interesting with Portugal. And the Portuguese, they all sort of, I've seen Euros. They just got, it was all about getting the job done. And in the end, they did get the job done by winning the whole tournament in Euro 2016.
Yeah.
Which was obviously a massive surprise, given that they didn't win one game in their group stage. They didn't win one game in 90 minutes until the Wales game, am I right in saying?
I think you're right.
So they sort of got, it was all about getting the job done for them, so it'll be interesting to see where Portugal go as well from here.
They're a side you look at on paper and you expect them to be a really attacking sort of side, whereas they're not. They kind of remind me of Man United in a way. They're very efficient but not exciting to watch at all.
Exactly.
Spain topped the group after some controversy with the VAR and Iago Aspas scoring a late goal in the Morocco game. Can you see Spain going all the way?
The Morocco player didn't like the VAR decision. I don't think they will. I don't think they'll win the whole thing. But they obviously look a lot better than they did in the last World Cup. But it couldn't have got much worse, could it? To be fair to them. I think they have been playing some good football, and again they got it done though. So they had a great game against Portugal out of Exeter. They obviously beat Iran and got the draw with Morocco. I think again they've got it done, and I would fancy them to comfortably beat Russia, despite Russia being the home nation. So I think they'll get to the semi-finals, judging by how it's all sort of looking. Mm. I think they'll get to the semi-final. And they might have to play Croatia if I'm not in the semi, actually.
Yeah, they do.
I think they'll definitely get to the quarters. Then it'll be a tough game against Croatia, to be fair. And obviously we'll discuss Croatia later on because I've got some very good things to say about them.
Spain have kind of underwhelmed me, apart from the Portugal game. You've just about beat Iran and you've drawn 2-2 against Morocco. This was seemingly one of the so-called easier groups. It was going to be Spain and Portugal flying through it, and further proof that this is the World Cup of the underdogs, because this has been closer than expected, really, hasn't it?
Well, I thought
Iran going out by a point. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I thought Morocco, both teams, Morocco and in particular Iran, I thought Iran were incredible to watch. They turned into one of the sides I was really cheering on, actually. I think it's more down to their resilience rather than perhaps Spain and Portugal not being great. I think Iran in particular were very resilient and another group that had got through. And, before the World Cup started, we wrote them both off as having no chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think both of them have played very well. I think it's all well and good. We can slate Spain and Portugal for not making hard work out of that group. But I think it was made hard work due to Morocco and Iran both playing very well. And I think, in a way, they're pretty excited to both be going out because they've played some good football. It's ultimately, obviously, especially with Iran, they were really unlucky. I mean, they almost should have really nicked it against Portugal right at the end. But I think had that lad had the player that actually dinked the shot rather than sort of panic a bit and lever it to the side of the net, and I think if he just sort of composed himself, dinked it over the keeper, which I'm sure about 99.9% of people who are watching the game probably said, will probably scream, "Then why didn't you dink it?" They would be through and Portugal would be out.
Mm. And as we say, Spain play Russia. Russia as well, another side who, I don't think we expected them to qualify. If I remember rightly, we predicted on this show Egypt and Uruguay to get through. Russia won two of their games, including that 5-0 win over Saudi Arabia. I suppose it's two big games for them, and they've had their joy, but can't really see them getting any further than Spain, as you sort of alluded to already.
I wouldn't count them out, in all honesty. Like I said, Spain have just about got through Group B, which looked like a weaker group on paper. Russia have obviously done away with Saudi Arabia. They then beat, Egypt, who were off colour because of Mohamed Salah's injury. And then they got done by Uruguay, but Uruguay haven't conceded the goal in the tournament so far, have they? So that's no... nothing to be ashamed of. If Russia turn up on the day, depending on which Spain turns up, doesn't it really?
Mm. In terms of Egypt as well, you mentioned Salah not turning up. It was also the coach has said that Ramadan had an impact with his team all fasting before. He said the other teams that had players which served Ramadan. They didn't serve Ramadan at this World Cup. But they did have their moment of joy with the 45-year-old goalie El Hadawi saving a penalty.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable save. Definitely in the goalkeepers' union there, but he's if I can make a penalty save that hit like he did, and 45-year-old in a World Cup, unbelievable.
Okay, I'll move on and discuss Croatia. Nick, you've got a lot of nice things to say about it, so I won't say anything more.
A lot of nice things? Yeah, did you say not nice things?
No, I said you've got a lot of nice things to say about them. Bit of a tongue twister, that.
I'm going to be honest, I think Croatia have been the best team in the tournament so far. I think they've looked strong in every aspect of. I think they've looked strong in every aspect of the pitch. I think with Modric and Rakitic. Them two in the middle, they look very solid at the back. I think Mandzukic up front. They've been the team that's really, really impressed me. I know, obviously, I'm people are going to say, oh, it's because of the stand-up game against Argentina, but I think even against Nigeria are a good side, they looked a lot better than Nigeria, and their 2-0 was almost the sort of standard 2-0 game, but it was very one side, but I thought in that game, obviously the Argentina game speaks for itself. They battered Argentina, they absolutely looked so comfortable in that game from start to finish, and then obviously in the last game against Iceland, obviously I know the pressure was off. So they, albeit they probably won the demon Belgium game yesterday. So I think Croatia have been one that have really, really impressed me. And I think they've got a realistic chance of getting to the to the semi-finals, or certainly to the quarter-finals. And obviously it'll be a good game against Spain. And they've just been the team that has really, really impressed me, the Croatians.
They've impressed your listeners as well with we did a poll of the best player of the World Cup group stages, and Modric came out on top with 38%. So, what do you think of Croatia, Oliver?
Yeah, it's something that's gone under the radar for me. I've just looked at the scores and how they performed and stuff. 2-0 against Nigeria, 3-0 against Argentina, and 2-1 against Iceland. They conceded one good goal and they got Argentina in the group. So that's pretty good going, in all honesty. I didn't even have them as one of the top teams in the tournament in terms of performance. The top three for me up until last night was England, Belgium and Uruguay, because everyone else has stumbled in some way, shape or form. But no, Nick's just shone a light on that, basically. Yeah, they were sensational against Argentina, and they've been impressive in the other two matches, and they're a team to fear in the tournament, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm. I should mention Argentina were quite fortunate to get through, Marcos Rojo scoring that late winner against Nigeria. But overall, Argentina have looked awful, I think, and Nigeria very unfortunate not to get through. They probably deserved it more for me.
Absolutely.
Yep, just couldn't agree more.
We'll move on to discuss Brazil.
I'm happy we...
They're the bookies' favourites to win the tournament. Do you think that's justified?
I'm happy we've avoided them, is all I can say about them. Yeah, I think so. They were my favourites before it all started, the Brazilians. I really fancied them. Obviously, they had a slow start against a good Switzerland team, don't get me wrong. So, obviously, you can't really slate them for a 1-1 draw. But now they've got going. Obviously, they weren't very good against. I mean, they weren't great against Costa Rica, but they got the job done in the end. And then I think the class sort of started to tell against Serbia. They started to look like the Brazilians, the Brazilians that we obviously all know about. I do fancy them to do very well. I think if I was a better man, I probably would bet on Brazil to win the tournament at this stage.
Mm-hmm. How much do they need Neymar to perform as well as he can perform? Because for me, he's not really done much, partly because teams have fouled him constantly. But are they a bit reliant on him, or do you think with some of the other players like the Coutinho and Firmino and Willian and all the rest, they've got enough attacking power?
Oh yeah, I think they've got a lot of power. They've got Jesus as well.
Well, this is actually my sweepstakes team in the gym that I go to, so I was happy when I picked this team. Yeah. But say that again, Nick.
It sounds rigged.
Yeah, sure it was. They were colour against Switzerland. You know, they were better against Costa Rica, but if I remember correctly, you know, the second goal could have been offside, couldn't it? But it wasn't given. And then against Serbia, they were just efficient, really. So we haven't kind of seen the best of Brazil at any point. And if that comes to the latter stages, then much like what Nick says, they could go on and win it. But much like Spain, it depends which Brazil turns up. In all honesty, if the Brazil of the best Brazil possible turns up, then they'll win it at a canter. But if they don't turn up in any one of the matches to come, if they get that far, then they'll go out.
Yeah, I think you've got a bit luckier in your sweepstake than me. I got Argentina in mine, who I initially was quite pleased with, but now I'm not so happy with them.
I've got Switzerland in mine, so yeah, not going to say anything at this moment in time, but could be worse.
France as well. France are another team who sort of underwhelmed. The final game of the group against Denmark, they were atrocious. It was a terrible game of football to watch, I thought. Beat Australia and Peru in the other games, but I'd say a bit similar to England, really. It's very hard to judge them because they've not had a proper test as such.
They've beat the other teams, Anthony, but by one goal. Beat Australia 2-1 and they've beat Peru 1-0. So, you know, they picked up the points and stuff, but it's not been a good tournament for the French in terms of performance.
I think their tie against Argentina coming up is probably the tie of the next round.
It's one of the most intriguing, in all honesty, because both teams haven't performed that well up there, really. So and one of them goes out, so that's really interesting. But probably the tie for me is Uruguay versus Portugal.
The tie of the tie of round 16, of the last 16, I think the one that stands out for me is France Argentina. In all honesty, I think that will be it will be a good game. It's the two biggest teams, but also I think I also do believe that. I think the Brazilians against the Mexicans could be a good game to watch as well. Obviously, we've been all impressed of how Mexico play, and also I think Croatia Denmark would be a very, very interesting game on the Sunday night as well. I think that could be very enjoyable to watch.
Just to finish, I just want to mention the Japanese qualifying for the knockout stages, which. It was a very tight group, but everyone, the predictions were all that Poland would get through, not Japan. And they're the first ever team to qualify on fair play. They got two less yellow cards than Senegal, and therefore got through.
I'm gutted for Senegal. I like their dancing routine and training. I'm going to miss that. And I think with Senegal, it was just very nice to see a country. I know it's a bit an easy thing to say, but it seemed to a country, every single one of their players seemed to be really enjoying it. Their fans seemed to be absolutely loving every second. So I think out of all the teams apart from obviously England, they're the ones that I really was enjoying watching. Senegal, just based on how much everyone was enjoying it. And they've actually got some very good players, Senegal. I was a bit disappointed to them go out, but obviously. So it's annoying because you could argue they don't deserve it, but then obviously they knew the rules, fair play. When it comes down to bookings, it comes down to bookings and everything, which I think is a fairly good rule. In the end, it's obviously annoying for them, but obviously, as they say, all the rules and they're out. But no, for full credit to Japan as well. I've been quite impressed with Japan, and to be fair with Japan, they always seem to be very, they've seen over the years and I've seen Japan play, they've always seemed very solid. As a team, as a country. So I know they've got Yoshida at the back, I think, so very good centre half. It'd be interesting to see. They've got Kagawa, who's obviously been very good for them in the World Cup. It'd be interesting to see to see Japan. But yeah, I think Belgium will have just a bit too much quality against Japan. But no, full credit to them for getting out of the group, albeit fair play.
What do you think of the idea of yellow cards deciding who gets through and not?
it was the last you know, thing that they could go by, wasn't it, really? Goal difference and goals for and head to head, and it kind of has to go to the next one, and that's how it's done. I guess it shines a light on that FIFA wants fair play above all, which is a good or bad thing depending on your opinion. In terms of Senegal, though, the managers, Ali Youssef, saying being a Birmingham City fan, I wanted him to do well. And then I think the only player we've got in the World Cup was Cheikh Ndoye, who's also Senegalese. So I wanted them to do well for that instance as well. Yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it, really? It's the only thing they could go by once they got past goal difference and goals for and against and head-to-head and stuff that you can only go by. And this was the next thing to go by. So it's fine if it works for you, I guess, and it's good if it works against you.
You look at the end of that game, I don't know if you saw the end of the Japan-Poland game, and it was a bit of a farce, I thought, the last 10-15 minutes. Both teams refused to attack and just passed it amongst themselves. It was extremely dull, and it was very felt very contrived, I thought.
Well, it was like Germany last year from 1982, wasn't it, I think?
That's what it was being reported as, yeah. I've never seen that game, but I need to watch that now.
No, I saw it from a highlights perspective, and it was much like Japan and Poland, and pretty disgraceful, to be honest. And once again, going back to my Birmingham City fandom, it's the same thing that happened between Braga and Bruges, and that's the reason why we didn't go through the Europa League stages back in 2011. So yeah, it's gone against us, and it's absolutely gutting when it does, because we'd worked really hard to get through the group stages, being in the championship and all. So yeah, I don't even care if it was England or, you know, obviously my sweepstakes team being Brazil. It's a disgrace when you do that. You're a professional footballer. You play to the best of your ability, and you go out there to win.
I just want to mention as well with Japan, I noticed in that 10-15 minutes probably helped them, but their players covered the least ground of any team in the World Cup, whereas on the other hand, Germany's side ran the second most of any team. I thought it was quite an interesting statistic.
Well, that's just a sign of working smarter, isn't it, I guess. You know, a German team have worked harder, but they've gone home. Mm-hmm. Japan have worked smarter, and they're still in the tournament.
Just a couple of questions to finish. First of all, who do you think will win the Golden Boot? Harry Kane's currently top on 5 goals, and you've got Lukaku and Ronaldo on 4. Diego Costa's got 3. They're probably the main candidates.
I'm going to go with Harry Kane.
Nick?
I'm going to go for John Stones.
He's only 3 off.
But no, I'm going to go for Harry Kane as well.
Okay. I'll say Lukaku just to offer something different.
No.
Well, I can't all say Kane, can we?
We may not be like the Belgians, but we're a fantastic country. We've raised people like Lord Kitchener, Sir Winston Churchill, Harry Potter, David Beckham, Rebecca Brooks, Piers Morgan. No, I can't stop.
I thought you was auditioning to be on Good Evening Britain then, Nick.
They rejected my application, I'm afraid.
Right.
Chris wouldn't accept my resignation from V2, I'm afraid.
I think it's pointless me asking you, Nick, but I may as well ask you both. Who do you think will win the World Cup?
All joking aside, I want to see win England or Croatia. Who I think will win will be Brazil.
I think in terms of the winners, it depends who turns up, really. You know, we were England at the best, they could win the World Cup. So, yeah, I'm going to go with England.
I think what Nick said really resonated with me. I think I don't think any team, well, none of the big teams really have performed well for me and convinced me that they're going to go on and win it. So I reckon there'll be a bit of a surprise. I reckon Croatia. I think Portugal as well. Portugal are in with a shout for me as well. But Croatia are my pick.
What about England?
I think we'll reach the semi-finals. I think we'll lose there. I think it'll be a very creditable World Cup, but I don't think we'll win it. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's patriotic
all
enough
right,
for you.
Do you think we're doing a disservice to Croatia by not classifying them as a big team?
Well, I was thinking because the historic,
Sorry, one second. If you go back to, say, Euro 96, for example, if they were a good team then, and then they've finished third in France 98, I think. And they've always had this solid team, and they've just not won the tournament, but they've always been in and around and had a really good team, and caused a few shocks and stuff. Should we be calling them not necessarily the biggest team in the world, but are we disservicing them by saying they're like an underdog and stuff, because they've played like anything other than an underdog in their group stage?
I think that's a very fair point. I think they have, but I think the purposes of the argument I was trying to make was, historic big teams like Spain and France and Argentina and Brazil and Germany, I think, are the ones considered by most. But I do take your point that Croatia are, I'd say even on paper, as good as any side, as Nick pointed out, with all the Mandzukic and Modric and Rakitic and Perisic and so on.
Absolutely.
There's one country we haven't really discussed, I don't think.
Okay.
And that's the Denmark.
No, we didn't really mention them. Do you see them as dark horses or?
No.
Oh, all right.
I think Denmark, they have actually impressed me. But I was really impressed them even in the when I did see caught them in the qualifiers, and they absolutely battered Ireland, obviously, in the playoff. I think Christian Eriksen's one of the best players in the Premier League, so I do enjoy watching Denmark play. And again, I think obviously they just happened to fall against Croatia, who have been excellent. So
Maybe we should have set out the show differently and done every team for 90 seconds each or something like that, and then no one can accuse us of not giving their team enough time.
Yeah, we've definitely not spoke about some of the teams. We spoke about teams in the last 16, but we've glossed over a lot of the team, i.e. Australia and what have you.
I've got a good question.
Okay.
Who would you say has been the best team that's going home?
Iran for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Iran or Senegal for me.
Just looking at my World Cup. Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria had a good World Cup, very young side as well.
Good team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go with Nigeria.
All right, well, I hope you've enjoyed our review of the group stage. We'll be back after the World Cup final with our review of the whole thing. If you want to hear more from us, we've got a couple of other shows. What happened in the last wrestling show? Broken But Glorious.
Yeah, I interviewed usual suspects, and that suspect was Zed, Corey Johnson, one half of part three this was, and he talked about his first day at training, what was the reason behind the ring name, and the promotions he's worked for, basically. So it's a fun listen, and it's just before tomorrow night, where nothing but wrestling, he's got a surprise opponent. So give it a listen and then get yourself along to Nothing But Wrestling.
Yeah, so you can check that out. We'll be releasing the next Formula One podcast, if you're that way inclined, after the Austrian Grand Prix this weekend. You can also follow us at V2 Sport Network on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and goodbye from me and my guests Nick Davey and Oliver Newman.
Thanks very much.